Welcome to the Work Camper Show, brought to you by WorkCamper.com. This podcast helps you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. Each one of our episodes will introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to work camping opportunities all around the U.S. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Today, I'm interviewing a couple from Tennessee who have been enjoying the RV lifestyle for almost 2 years. They had owned an 80-acre, 10-building compound and took up RVing as a way to get away from the pressures of maintaining such a large property. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. If you have more questions and answers when it comes to the work camping and RVing lifestyle, then don't worry, Work Camper News has your back. Attend a free monthly Work Camping Q&A webinar to get your questions answered. Each month, the knowledgeable team behind WorkCamper.com hosts a free live webinar where they answer questions submitted by folks just like you who are learning about the RV lifestyle, just getting started, or have been work camping for a while. They cover topics like what kind of work camping jobs are available, what do those jobs pay, tips for writing a work camper resume, questions to ask an employer, what type of RV is best, how to get your mail as an RVer, and much more. In the description of each video, you'll find a list of questions that were answered so you can quickly jump to the sections you want to hear. Register for the next live webinar at workcamper.com/answers. Or listen to detailed answers now by watching the recordings of past Q&A webinars on the Work Camper News YouTube channel at youtube.com/workcamper and click on the Q&A on Work Camping playlist. Jack and Shelby Tesser have 5 children, the youngest of which is 19. They traveled frequently as a family, but never in an RV. When Shelby was a young girl, she played softball and traveled with friends whose parents owned RVs. As a result, she grew up dreaming about having her own RV someday. Then, around Mother's Day in 2022, she and Jack bought a fifth wheel and took their first trip by visiting a state park in Tennessee. That's where they fell in love with the RV lifestyle and decided to sell all but 7 acres of their property to hit the road full-time. To tell us more about their motivation for embracing the RV lifestyle and how they support their travel dreams while in their early 50s, please welcome Jack and Shelby Tesser to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Jack and Shelby. I appreciate your time. How long have you been RVing?
We actually started full-time RVing in May of 2022.
We actually bought our fifth wheel in May and really started full-time living in the RV at the end of 2022.
What prompted you to get into the lifestyle?
We had moved to Tennessee. When we moved to Tennessee years ago, we bought a large kind of plot of land. We wound up with almost 80 acres, 10 buildings. Part of the reason for the buildings was just that we take care of elderly parents. So I've got a house for my dad and Shelby with her mom. We had to have a house for her. And we moved them here with us just so in their later years, we could be close to them and for health reasons, or even just for the experience to be able to participate in the latter part of their years together. And on the property, what we found was we were tied down, doing all the things you can think of that you have to do when you own a big piece of land. And some of it was desired by us. And if you think about a project, think about something that you love to do. Sometimes it can just stay in your head all day, all your whole life. It could dominate what you do. So this property started to do that. We started building bridges over creeks or decks on the back of every barn. Or what about?
We
built an enchanted forest for our daughter.
Yeah, because our daughter was getting married. She got married 2 years ago in October on the property. So that was super exciting.
So what's an enchanted forest look like?
Oh, that's a good question. An enchanted forest is a little area that was on this property. So if you could picture a big property with 80 acres, there was an area down by a creek that was almost separate from the rest of the property. And it had big, beautiful trees in it. And one area where the sun would shine it towards the kind of center of it. And It looked pretty awesome. And it actually wound up being the spot where our daughter and our son-in-law exchanged their vows. I built a little stage down there, built almost an exterior church structure just to make it look great. Again, this, Greg, goes back to us being dominated by the thoughts of what you can do when you have it and leaving yourself no time for life. Just who's building a stage with a church so your daughter could get married on it? I just couldn't stop. We even tried to find local pews and try to pick those up for people who didn't want them. I'm telling you, we went overboard. And I don't want to make it sound like it was a burden because it's just a beautiful thing. But if you can imagine, sometimes those things can dominate your life just because you have it. And that's what wound up happening to us.
Exactly. You don't really realize how much work and time goes into maintaining a property like that. So that started to become a handful.
Shelby, you were looking for something to do to then get away from the property owners.
Yeah.
And it reminded you of when you were younger, right?
Yeah. When I was young growing up, I played softball. We traveled around and I had a few friends whose parents owned RVs. And so I remember as a little girl always dreaming of having an RV of my own and being able to travel around. Once we got to the point where things started feeling like we weren't having time to go on vacations or do anything fun, and we got inundated with stuff, we started talking about actually purchasing an RV. And
did you say we started talking? Right.
Because it was always a lifelong dream. And I remember as a kid, so I we love to travel. We've traveled with our kids. The youngest is 19 now. So that we've always had the passion for that. So I started talking to my husband about my dreams, and thank God he opened to hearing me.
Well, fully receptive, but I do love the way Shelby says talking to my husband and not talking at my husband. It was more or less, hey, I have an idea that maybe we could get an RV. And it was more like, hey, I want to get an RV. That would be the translation, right? So yeah, it was around before Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day.
It was,
2022, yeah. We bought ourselves a fifth wheel. We were lucky enough to have already had a dually a truck, because this is a big financial investment for someone to buy, even just a fifth wheel. It's not a big motor coach, I know, but still for us, this was a pretty big investment to get a fifth wheel. If you then also had to buy the truck to tow the fifth wheel, it winds up being almost economically unviable for some folks. We were lucky to already have the dually for business, for our work. And so this was just an add-on. And what happened when we started going?
We found a local RV dealership here where we live in Middle Tennessee called Cookville RV. And we were fortunate enough to meet Adam, who's worked there for many years, who is now our really close friend. And he was able to give us a bunch of information and guide us through the whole process. So we went there probably every day for 3 weeks, looking through every single rig on their property. So he's like our best friend. Well,
he became our best friend, because I don't know if anyone else has done this, but we were probably a burden to Adam. I don't know why we just kept going back and wanting to get into every RV and look at all of them. Is there any point at which we can make a decision here? Is there a chance maybe we're going to buy one? I don't know if other people do this, the way you just keep going in and picturing yourself living in every single one of them, even though we're not going to live in the thing. We still did that, but he was so kind. He worked with us and really honestly did become a friend. For more reasons than just this, we might touch on it a bit. But yeah, we wound up getting the fifth wheel from him. And then we went on Mother's Day.
Yeah, we went on our first trip. We went to a place in Middle Tennessee called John Horton State Park. And we completely fell in love with the lifestyle and came home. And I got another little idea that I had to talk with.
So this is where it gets a little bit more harebrained. We had lived here in Tennessee, not quite even 2 years, wound up having an RV. All right. So we own 80 acres. Why are we even buying an RV? We could probably just camp in a tent on our own property, right? So now we have an RV, and suddenly Shelby tells me, I really love RVing. What do you say?
We sell everything.
I'm sure that's about how the conversation went. That's how the conversation went right there, Greg, I'll tell you. So yeah, excuse me. We just bought this property. We have lifelong plans. Shelby mentioned some of our kids. We have 5 kids. So we're expecting grandkids to be coming to the property. And now everything, or most of it, if you will. And as usual, her idea is a great idea. And I loved it just because it might free us up to go explore the way we love to and see the country. So there's a long answer as to what kind of got us into RVing and maybe what even led us to living in an RV rather than on 80 acres.
Yeah. Did you select a fifth wheel because you already had the dually, or did you even explore getting a motorhome?
Oh my gosh. This is the greatest question. And anyone listening who owns one is probably going to relate. The options are so endless that you wind up swimming in the thoughts of which one to get, all the way down to just a truck camper that could slide in the back of our dually. And I've got to tell you, we've seen some of these truck campers, like Host make some large ones. One, in fact, it's called the Mammoth. It's so big. And when you go inside, you just cannot believe you're standing in the bed of a pickup truck, all the way up to these Class A's that are so unbelievable. They're better than hotels we've stayed at when we traveled overseas. We're blown away.
They're gorgeous. And it's funny because we actually looked at everything from pop-ups to Class A's. Like, right. We went everything trying to figure out what would best fit our lifestyle, going from 80 acres to be living in a full-time RV.
At the time when we were looking to buy it, I never knew. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. I didn't know I was going to be living in an RV when we were selling. Somehow, I suspect Shelby had an idea or an intuition. This is probably something else other people can relate to. When one of the spouses is unaware, maybe, of what the outcome could be, and the other spouse has an idea of possibly what the future might bring, I was along for the ride. And I'm okay with that. I think it worked out great. But when we shopped, we felt that we could own almost any one of them. But since we already had the dually, from an economic standpoint, and bang for the buck, if you step foot in a fifth wheel at the dollar price and compare that to anything else that will provide that much space, it's a hard economic comparison to find anything that will provide that bang for the buck like we found when we bought the Grand Design fifth wheel. So that's the answer as to why we actually wound up with the fifth wheel. To your point, we already had the dually, made sense, and we could get it around. So why not just go with the fifth wheel?
Did you have to do any modifications to the RV before you started living in it all the time?
Oh my goodness. I'll jump in on this before Shelby cuts in, because from a standpoint of structure or a standpoint of the way it's built, we felt the Grand Design could do well. We've heard some things about all RVs, right? If you're going to ever try to live in one, you could run into trouble anyway. Being that this was a four season, it was meant to be able to be driven on the road and lived in almost any climate condition. We were lucky from that standpoint, lucky, or you have a spouse who actually planned for that. So I didn't have to really do any modifications from a structural standpoint or add-ons or changing the suspension. It came with the improved tires on it, whatnot. The suspension was fine. However, on the inside, there were a few aesthetics that I became aware needed to be addressed due to Shelby letting me know that they should probably be addressed. So what type of things? Minor things, mind you.
We did minor things. Like, we covered one of the things that I dislike about some of the Grand Design is, I call it the chicken wire on the cabinets and the window. But I loved this particular layout and design that we got. So we covered those, and we changed out some lights and added a backsplash and stuff like that. A larger TV, because we do like to watch movies and shows and YouTube. But other than that, we really haven't done much besides small modifications.
Very good. So you're living in this thing full time right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do for a living before you started getting into the RV lifestyle?
So the biggest change in that was for myself. For my entire life, I've worked in the finance industry, and I've been a certified financial planner for 20 years, although that's not what I did in the latter part of my career. I wound up being in upper management, chief operating officer of a broker dealer when we lived down in Florida, but essentially left that behind when we realized that our folks were getting a bit older and needed a lot more attention. What I found was that if we were going to be able to focus on them in the way that was honestly required, or the way I would like to, being so dedicated to a career, which is really what's required when you want to do well at your job, you're really focusing on it more than just the hours you think you're working. It takes up brain power and so on. So I took a step back myself from what I was doing, and how blessed can you be that you have the capability of doing that? And I was very lucky that at the time I had the capability of doing that. And part of that is because of Shelby and what she does for a living.
I'm a small business owner, and I'm fortunate enough that I can work from the road and work from my RV. I own companies in Florida and Tennessee. So the RV, our fifth wheel, also gives us the capabilities of traveling back and forth from state to state, depending on where we need to be. So that was another plus and aspect of our life, owning the RV and not having to stay in hotels and being able to drive with your home and feel like home regardless of where you're at.
This did, though, bring about, it has now at this point brought about some life decisions that need to be made for us, because it's one thing to have the capability for 18 months or 2 years to be able to focus on parents. And honestly, it was a blessing that we could, because we run into some very serious health issues for both Shelby's mom and my dad. We're talking things like stroke and COVID for an 80-year-old, my dad wound up in the hospital for a little while with multiple issues because he turned 80 in November.
It's been an interesting, rough last 4 months.
And then Shelby's mom with a stroke, but I had taken a step back leading up to that. And I was here and I was able to help immediately. And the blessing of that, I think, is part of the reason that they're both still here with us. Mm-hmm. So sometimes life takes you by the wrist and guides you in a direction, and you don't realize until later down the road why it went that way. And we're starting to realize some of that now. However, I'm in my early 50s, Shelby's not quite 50, and I'm not going to not work for the rest of my life. That's not what's in store. I can still give back, and I would like to. So here I am at a stage now where I have to figure out what's next. How are we going to fund the machine at this point so that we can continue to travel and do the things we know we can do to help other communities as we're on the road? Next stage in our life. We'll see what that brings us.
Brought us to you and what you do and represent with Work Campers. We've been looking a lot more into it and find it extremely interesting. And I know my husband wants to look into different opportunities that might come about, regardless if we're here in Tennessee or on the road traveling.
How many weeks a year are you in your RV then? It sounds like you're still spending time between the sticks and bricks and your RV.
Yeah. So here's what we did. When we sold, we didn't sell all 80 acres. We kept somewhere under
seven
or so acres, right? Because I had a house for my dad, so we kept that. That's on about an acre. And then we kept six or so, a little bit more on a small piece where we put down Shelby's mom's home. So yeah, we have a house for Shelby's mom. We have a house for my dad, but Shelby and I are homeless. We don't have a house. So we do live full time in the RV.
Okay.
So what we did was, on the acreage that was set aside for Shelby's mom, we put down four RV pads. We did four RV pads just because we knew we wanted one for ourselves and other friends might come to visit a property. We did not know that those friends were going to children who thought the idea of selling things and just for a season living in an RV sounded pretty awesome. And we wound up having our oldest daughter and
3 out of 5 of our kids moved to our property, bought their own RV. 2 of them are still currently on the extra hookups we have here.
Yeah. To answer your question, no, we do live in this RV full time.
This is our home.
We drag our home around the country when we do travel. But also our some of our kids have converted to the lifestyle. We actually wound up buying for the family 4 RVs in a short period of time from Cookville RV, talking with Adam. And that's what's on our property now, or I should say on my mother-in-law's property. Yeah.
Even though we consider it our home base.
Call the outpost, because we come back here, hook up for a bit, and then we can go back on the road.
It's nice that you're able to do that with your family and have all the kids nearby. And that's one of the beauties of RVing, is people get them to go visit the kids. But in your situation, the kids came to stay with their RVs. How unusual is that?
And they're close to their grandparents during the latter stage of their lives. And it's like we said, Greg, that you make decisions in life, and sometimes you feel like life is almost pushing you in a direction, like you don't have decisions, but you do. And as you make these choices and try to arrange what life's dealt out to you, you will find out later down the road why it's all happening. And sometimes it gets revealed earlier than others. And in this case, we're really seeing the blessings of this direction in our life.
What are some of the favorite places that you visited in your RV?
We did just get back from Auburndale, Florida, filming RV Unplugged. I'm actually from Florida, so that's one of the places that we left. And coming back up to Tennessee, I think one of my favorite places is Fall Creek Falls in Middle Tennessee. It's one of the most beautiful state parks that we have here in Tennessee. Our daughter was actually engaged there, so we do have a little more sentimental affection for that one. But that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, but it's not just sentimental, because they've got amazing waterfalls. She was engaged under one of the waterfalls. It was just an amazing time. But there's a lodge there. So even if you're in your RV and you needed some time to get out of the RV to go to a restaurant or sit out on a balcony or go to the lodge, it really has a very warm, comfortable feeling. Water's all over the place, surrounded by water. So canyons. It's one of the most beautiful places we have visited. But without just isolating the Middle Tennessee, there are places in Georgia. We just got back from Stone Mountain. Unbelievable Stone Mountain. And we just like that feel you can get from the way we're talking about the places we'd love to visit, that it's not big, luxurious resorts, although they're awesome. It's these places surrounded by trees and water where you can hear the wildlife. And even though you're amongst your other fellow RVers, you feel that you can be isolated when you want to. That feeling is just amazing about having an RV and be able to travel.
We love Plains, Georgia. We even went there to visit the Big Peanut with the Jimmy Carter Museum and stuff.
Oh, that was really cool. A blast. You're really hitting on exactly the type of thing we love when we travel. Shelby likes finding the biggest ball of yarn.
The roadside oddities.
The world's largest. We actually found when we were up north.
The largest frying pan.
The largest frying pan.
So Iowa, I believe.
How far off the road did I have to go to try to find the world's largest frying pan?
I think it was like 12 miles, but it was well worth it.
It was worth it. We found the smallest church once when we were with our kids. And so, yeah, we love those type of trips. And Plains, Georgia, you're really hitting on it. That's our type. That's our speed when we find something like that.
Little hometown, Main Street.
That's us.
So sounds like something or a scene out of the movie Vacation with Chevy Chase, where they're off to see the world's largest ball of twine.
Yes, that's us.
All right, so here's what we've done. You have found us out. When we've traveled with our five kids in the past, again, we've been lucky to be able to drag those kids all through it. And one time after saving, I don't know how long we saved for this one, but we took them to Europe. We loaded them in a minivan. And we drove all through Europe with five kids in the back of a minivan and essentially looking for Europe's largest ball of yarn situation. That's what we did. And if you remember Vacation, where Chevy Chase, I can't get left at the roundabout. I can't get left. I just can't get left. That was us in a minivan with our five kids. And Shelby and I were the only two who knew the reference. When I simply could not get left, I cannot get out of this roundabout. Shelby was the only one who got it. But yeah, you nailed it. You found us out. That is us. We're essentially the Griswolds traveling all through the world. But now Shelby and I are the two Griswolds doing it here in the United States.
That's funny. Are you supporting yourself based on the income you earn from the sale of the property? Or do you make money in some other way that supports your travel lifestyle?
It's all of the above right now, which is part of the reason for having to find out what's next for us. It's one thing to be able to benefit from having some money you made from the sale of a property and then spend through that and then possibly wind up with nothing left at retirement other than the small amounts you'd get from Social Security or whatnot. But like I said, at some point, the entire mechanism has to fund itself, at which point I would have to turn my labor back into a means of supporting what we're doing. And so right now it is a combination of what Shelby does, of my efforts in that, helping our son to grow his construction business here in Middle Tennessee as we're getting licensed with the state and being part owner in his business. But then more so, what conversion will take place here moving forward that will provide more income to fund our future endeavors.
Do you still have your business, Shelby?
Oh, yeah. I still work every day. I own my companies. And like I said, I'm fortunate enough that I can work remotely. And then, like my husband said, we're helping our son grow his construction company here in Tennessee. So that's taken up a little bit of time. And then I think coming up after we start our channel and moving forward, my husband will get back into something as well.
That's right.
What do you do for business?
I actually own a cleaning company based out of Tennessee and Florida. We deal with Airbnbs, residential, commercial, high-end corporate accounts and stuff. We have to travel back and forth. We do estate cleanouts. We help families with people that might pass away and clean out their homes and prepare them to sell. We also work with real estate agents and firms to help prepare homes for listing.
Actually, one of the biggest things you don't really realize until you have elderly parents, and we didn't really realize the large need for this. But in Florida, when folks live alone and then they pass away, the husband might pass and then the mom passes later. I don't know, when the kids live in Michigan.
Yes.
And are they going to come down to Florida and try to clean out that house so that they can at least get it listed? They just can't do it. And we've done such a good job of helping families with that in Florida. Shelby and I will actually travel down to Florida for some of these jobs for the clean out to make sure the house is so well represented when the time comes for it to be listed, that the real estate agents, they love that. It helps them to expedite the sale process. And it really gets the house ready for sale in a way that if you're just going to hire a junk company to come in, that they just tear everything out.
Exactly.
We don't do that. We take a little bit more care, sending pictures back to the kids, asking if this is of sentimental value. We have to find this. And we've helped people out with that. And some of the stuff should not be thrown out. It could be of use to someone else in a charitable way, or you know, people could use furniture that's this good. And
when we do some of the cleanouts, we will not only communicate with the family so they have a comfort of knowing what's going on with the property. We also ask them if there's any items they don't want, if we can have them, and then we take them and we donate to them. We donate to people in need or to churches, or depending on what is left or the people want to give, we just try to give back as much as possible.
Yes. In most cases, the family's distraught enough where they don't want anything. They just throw it all out. And it's up to us then to figure out the best way to put that in the hands of people who use it.
That's a great point. Sounds like charity is an important part of your life. Is that something that you're considering getting involved in more often now that you're going to be living full-time in your, or now that you are living full-time in your RV?
Yeah, for sure. So a little history, from a family standpoint, our entire family, all the kids and us, we have been very involved in charity for almost the entirety of the family. And one of the big catalysts for that was when our oldest son, Jake, when he was 9, he lost his sight. He went blind. And he went blind because of a pretty rare genetic issue. It was called Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. And essentially what happened was his eyes stopped processing proteins properly and he lost his sight.
Wow.
So he's legally blind. And again, this kind of goes back to what we touched on earlier in our discussion. Sometimes in life, you don't know why things are happening. It might get revealed later. For us, it has. It's been revealed. And that's one of the greatest blessings. But when it happens, we felt the way you think we would, or the way you might. It was heartbreaking. We couldn't figure out why this would happen to us. There's no explanation for it. The genetic mutation, that doesn't help me. But what we found was there was a school in Florida, in St. Augustine. Some of the listeners might know it's Florida School for the Deaf and Blind. It's actually where Ray Charles went when he lost his sight. And the school was absolutely amazing. It changed Jake's life.
Addition with Jake, he was always into sports prior to losing his vision, and he never lost that passion. Going to the school, they had some field days and certain sports that some kids could participate in. But with Jake's passion, he wanted to do more. So I think at age 9 or 10 was the first time
realized that so many of the kids who were blind were not ever really given the opportunity to try sports. That's the last thing a parent might think of when they have a child. Let's try some sports. And Jake couldn't understand that, honestly, because he loved sports. It didn't matter if he was blind or not. So he wanted to expand the idea of a field day where every kid in the school would not have to go to school that day. And they would have a day out in the fields to try different sports. And that could be somewhat costly to have it. So he ran a 5K.
He raised
$3,000.
A little over $3,000. Yeah. That was the first time. Our family just kept sticking with it, and his love and passion for running and sports. So we all would start joining in 5Ks. We did half marathons together to raise money.
Yeah.
And then graduated high school, he decided he wanted to run a marathon at Disney to raise money to create this field day for all the other kids after.
Almost like a legacy. So when he was gone, the field days could continue. He wanted them to continue for 10 years and it would be about $2,000 a year. So he was trying to raise $10,000 to see if it could work. He ran the marathon and he wound up raising $20,000 so that they could do a field day for 10 years. He wound up presenting that check and our whole family, all the kids, we would go back every year to see how the kids were doing. And but just led to so many other things for us. Every year at Christmas time, we would load the back of our SUV, not just with all of us, all 7 of us, but with toys. We're not talking expensive toys. We're talking the $5, $10 toys or things that our kids said they got for Christmas or gifts and they wanted to donate. And we would drive neighborhoods in South Florida or Florida where we just knew maybe they weren't getting stockpiles of toys for Christmas, right? So we would drive around and we'd give these toys. And that was another thing, just an example of what we would do as we met people along the way. And yes, that has led to what we might do now moving forward with our own social media. We're going to be creating a channel. The basis for that channel will be charity. It will highlight us traveling through the country, really trying to find the lesser known roads, the main streets that maybe don't show up on all the searches.
Cool.
And the things we love to do on those main streets. Most importantly, meet people, some of whom might have minor needs that we can help. A bicycle that somebody can get to work on, or
little things. We want to be able to give back to people that we meet along the way that might not have the means or know where to go to ask for help. And we're lucky that we get out in the community and talk to a lot of people, and we come across people that just need small things. There's a gentleman around here that needs a bicycle, and we're going to be purchasing him a bicycle so he can get to and from work. So that's going to be our first thing that we're going to be doing in a couple of weeks.
He's walking on the road. He's over 60. He's walking on the road in the snow because his bicycle needs tires and a chain, and it's a mess. We can help with that. We can help in big ways, but honestly, if we think we can help in small ways, and it could become something big as we go.
Yeah. And so our channel. Oh, sorry.
So this is going to become your focus, is going to be traveling around the country, talking to people, finding out what they need, and then helping fulfill their need.
Yes.
How
and so
cool.
I know we're super excited. We will be launching our channel hopefully within a few weeks to a month.
The name of the channel is going to be The Bimble Effect with
Zach and Shelby. Yeah. And to bimble means to walk at a leisurely pace. And to us, that means when in our travels, we do want to take the time to get to know people in the community, walking down main streets, little shops that you might go in, or churches, or just anybody that might need some help or assistance. We want to be able to give back as much as we can.
And I think the theme to bimble, or to go bimble, is such a perfect term for that, because it does mean to explore at a leisurely pace with no specific destination in mind. And that's helpful to us because we have traveled at lightning speed in the past. If you've ever taken kids to Disney when they're young, the main goal is what for them? It's to get on every ride as quickly as possible from one ride to the next. If you're using FastPass or whatever the new thing is there, or any amusement park you've ever gone to, let's get on this roller coaster, that one, wait online. And sometimes when we travel, we do the same thing. We just want to check the boxes of, we live here in Tennessee. Let's get to Nashville and then over to Dollywood and Pigeon Forge. And let's just check boxes of the biggest things to do. And that is fun. We've done that. And I would recommend it. At the same time, we missed so much in between that we didn't realize until we had an RV. And you can't speed. And we've had to slow down. And we find ourselves on main streets in a little shop or a small cafe talking to the owner. And you realize things about the servers there or the people that you sit down and talk with. And we have been blown away in the last 18 months as to how much more fulfilling that has become for us. So yes, Greg, that's going to be the focus as we travel. If we bump into somebody who tells us their story of they're trying to start a business and that's why they're a server, they're just trying to get that extra $900 to get a license for XYZ, we want to pay for that license.
Oh.
And if that helps them, maybe they'll help others as they go.
That's how the ripple effect came about. It's like butterfly effect.
That's right.
Where one small action creates a whole array of actions. Ours is the bimble effect, because we feel and hope that our small action will lead to many more action.
That's cool. I love that. So your channel will be launching here soon.
Yes.
Probably about the time this airs. And so we'll direct people to that. That's cool.
Thank you. We would appreciate that.
What a legacy. And then I guess we need to mention RV Unplugged. You guys were contestants there. How did you like that experience?
Oh my gosh, what an experience that was. I can tell you it was beyond what we thought. As we mentioned before, we found the show on its first season when they were actually producing the show on a shoestring budget. And we fell in love with it. Even as it was, we thought it was fantastic. I think it represented RVers in a fun way. The kind of kooky things we like to do when we travel. The way we are when we're at our RVs when we travel and we have people come over around the fire. We loved it. And that's why we went to
Athens, Texas for the season one finale rally. And we got to meet a lot of great people. And we actually signed up to hopefully become contestants on season 2. We did some competition. And
at the rally. We
were fortunate enough to be at a
party. What a dream that was. They asked us to be on. We don't have any social media presence. They asked us to be on. And I think after talking with Phil and Stacy and the producers, they wanted representation of just normal RVers, people like us who our life experience might sound like some other folks' life experience, where some of us are very similar, although we all might look a little different. We have similar life experiences, but we weren't social media people. And here we are being cast on a show, plugged. I can tell you they put us through the ringer. The show will come out in May, at the end of May. And it was absolutely an amazing experience, what we all went through for this. And made lifelong friends, I'm certain, yeah. And really just loved it every minute of it.
I highly recommend people go on to RV Unplugged website and sign up to be contestants on season 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I did say I loved every minute of it. I think, Greg, if you'll permit me, I'll retract that statement for a moment here and just say there might have been some minutes during this that we did not love. I wouldn't necessarily change it. But wow, when you see what they put us through, it's going to bring a smile to your face, even though we might not have been smiling. And then you might second guess wanting to be on season 3. But I will tell you, if you watch this and it's up your alley, you would love it.
You've intrigued me. I can't wait to watch it when it starts airing in May. That'll be fun. So you don't have a social media presence, but how can people connect with you if they would like to ask you a question or just connect?
I have a Facebook page.
Start over for me.
I have a personal Facebook page as well as my husband's. We can provide you with those links. And we have Instagram and TikTok and that kind of stuff. It's all under personal. And then as soon as our page gets up and running, we can send you those links as well. But right now, my name on Facebook is Shelby Arnold Tesser. And my husband's under John Tesser.
But I'd love it if you all call me Jack.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today. This has been uplifting. I love what you're doing with the charity. I think that's going to be add a whole new dimension to your RV travels, and you'll make an impact wherever you go. How cool is that?
That's the hope.
That's our goal.
Yeah. So thank you again for sharing your story.
Thank you, Greg.
Our pleasure, Greg.
It was fun talking with Jack and Shelby Tesser about their RVing and travel experiences. Jack had been a certified financial planner for 20 years down in Florida. Shelby owned 2 businesses herself in Florida and Tennessee. As their parents got older and needed more care, they moved to Tennessee and started to build a family compound. After falling in love with RVing, the couple sold most of the land but created RV hookups on the remaining acreage, which Jack and Shelby use upon occasion, along with their own children, who also own RVs. They use money from the sale of the property to finance their travel plans for now, but the Tessers are about to start a YouTube channel. Shelby also operates a cleaning company serving Airbnb properties, high-end corporate clients, and conducting estate cleanouts. Their entire family has been involved in charities over the years. First, they started raising money to support a school for blind students their son attended in Florida. Now they want to travel to small towns across America and help everyday type of people with special needs. This year, Jack and Shelby were participants in RV Unplugged. It's a reality competition premiering May 29th where 10 couples and 1 individual compete for a $25,000 cash prize. Their YouTube channel will be called The Bimble Effect. To bimble means to walk at a leisurely pace and explore with no particular destination in mind, which is what the Tessers do in their travels. People can connect with Jack and Shelby on Facebook or on YouTube. Be sure to root for them on Season 2 of RV Unplugged. More details are available at www.rvunpluggedtv.com. Today's episode is sponsored by WorkCamper News. With its Diamond and Platinum membership tools, WorkCamper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. That's all I have for this week's show. Next week, I'll be interviewing a couple who owns a campground in rural North Central California, and they're looking for work campers, especially retirees. I'll have that interview in the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening. If you like these interviews, please consider leaving a review wherever you download the episodes.